I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. This parable begins after Peter questions Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?' Up to seven times," which is a very generous statement. When Peter says, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" He may not, but he could be referring to his literal brother, because his brother Andrew was also a disciple. And you know, on the trail, they had to get on each other's nerves. Have you ever noticed that the majority of our wounds and offenses and hurts come from those who are closest to us? In fact, the closer they are to you, probably the more that they offend you and hurt you. You know the old saying about your spouse: can't live with them, can't kill them. Because it's against the law. And we shouldn't break the law. Because we're Christian. And that's kind of a paraphrase.
Kind of.
Those who are closest to us hurt us most. And it's, you know why that is? It's designed to work that way. Because if you have to live with them, you have to learn to forgive them. You have to grow. Yeah, it's designed by God. Family and friends are heavenly sandpaper for taking the edges off of you. Sometimes they make us happy, sometimes they make us holy. Both were designed by God for our benefit, our ultimate blessing. Okay, so in Jesus' day, the rabbis taught that if you forgave a specific offense three times, you were under no obligation to forgive it again. That was it. Three times, it's over. So Peter really thinks, you know, that he's going, well, and he is going beyond the law here. And he uses the number seven because it represents completion and perfection. And he probably thought he was going to get a nice pat on the back for his statement. But in verse 22, Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times." Oh, that's two sevens. Jesus re-raises. And the point is, he's not being literal. You know, Jesus is not saying, "Well, Peter, here's how it works with me. I forgive him 77 times. But that next one, wham, are they going to get it?" The 77 times is a saying which means there is no limit. It's, don't try to keep track. And the thing is, that's impossible if you focus on the offender. Imagine someone reoffending you 77 times and you keep forgiving. Not possible if you focus on the offender. The forgiveness Jesus is talking about must be founded on the grace that we receive. It's the only way it can work. And so to illustrate this, Jesus comes up with this story of these two guys in debt. And they both have very different debts that they owe. One owes the king, one owes the other servant. Let's talk about the money here that's owed. There's a big difference between, first, let's talk about the 10,000 talents before we talk about the 100 denarii. Here's one denarius. This is an actual denarius. It was one day's wage. You work all day, long day, that's what you get right there. Okay, that's a denarius. Now that, the first servant, he owed 10,000 talents. A talent is not a coin. A talent is an amount. In fact, it was the largest unit of currency at use at the time of the parable, and one talent was 6,000 of those. So 6,000 denarii is one talent. The first servant owed the king 10,000 of these. That's, well, one talent, 6,000, is 20 years' wages. So he owed him 10,000 times 20 years' wages. Now, to put this in perspective, Herod the Great, who ruled over Palestine at the time of Jesus' birth, he had an annual tax revenue of about 900 talents total for the entire kingdom. And this guy owes 10,000 talents. Figuring today's wage at, say, $100, the first servant owed the king about $6 billion, give or take. Now, but still, that's not exactly how we should look at it, because in Jesus' day, 10,000 was the largest number that they actually had a name for. So he couldn't use a bigger number. He's using the biggest number, the biggest measurement of currency that he can. So realistically, it would be more like us saying the guy owed a gazillion dollars. So the first guy owes a gazillion dollars. The fellow servant owed him 100 denarii, so 100 days' wages, which is about $10,000. Now that is a sizable amount. That's 100 days' wages. Jesus' point is not that the second guy didn't need to be forgiven of much. On the contrary, that's a lot to be forgiven of. No, his point is that in contrast to the first amount, the second debt is nothing. Okay, no, I want you to notice that the king's mercy goes beyond what the servant requests. It's in verse 26 and 27. It says, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. Look what he says. And I will pay back everything. That's his bargain. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Why did he take pity? Because he knew... Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean why did he take pity. I mean, why did he cancel the debt? We understand he took pity because he felt bad for the guy. Why did he cancel the debt? Because he knew it was impossible to repay. It's a gazillion dollars. And so he cancels it. Now, this might be a key to understanding the servant's odd response. He never asked for a cancellation. He asked for patience while he repaid it. He thought that given enough time, he could figure this thing out on his own. And so his pride prevents him from fully appreciating the mercy that he's receiving. And this lack of appreciation leaves him powerless to forgive others. Gratitude motivates us to forgive. There's no compelling reason for me to forgive someone if I only see it as my generosity toward the one who hurt me. I look at them and I think, I'm not feeling so generous today. There's just no compelling reason. If that's how I see it, it's just my generosity to the one who hurt me. But I am empowered to forgive when I see it as my gratitude toward the God who forgave me. Big difference. So to the extent I'm unforgiving, I'm ungrateful. You know, the reason we have a hard time forgiving others is generally because we don't feel the fullness of the forgiveness that we've received. A couple reasons for this. Either because of pride, I don't think I deserve that much. I'm a pretty good guy. I haven't been forgiven of all that much stuff. And so because I don't appreciate the fullness of the forgiveness I've received, it's more difficult to extend it to others. And so it could be the pride, or because of shame, I don't think I deserve much forgiveness. And so I don't embrace the forgiveness, and I don't feel forgiven. And then it's tough to offer it to others. But I need to tell you, you are not above his grace, and you are not below his love. You were created in his likeness, which means he has embedded your worth within you. You're his child. You are worthy. He looks at you and loves you. Even as Jesus hung, suffering, dying on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. We have been spectacularly forgiven, and yet we ridiculously remain unforgiving. When the servant confronted the man that owed him 100 denarii, it says in verse 28, he grabbed him and began to choke him. You've probably heard the expression, hurt people hurt people. Well, something that's, I believe that's true, and something just as true is this: forgiven people forgive people. To remain merciless is to dismiss the filthiness of our own sin and the enormous price Christ paid to cleanse us, the gazillion part. Offering mercy is inner evidence of having received and embraced God's mercy for myself. So let's be real clear on what forgiveness is and what it is not. And let's start with what it is not, because this kind of fouls people up, having a false idea of what forgiveness is. And they think, oh, I don't want to do that. And what they're thinking that is appropriate not to be done. So what forgiveness is not? Forgiveness is not forgetting. God has the ability to choose to forget sin. That's a miraculous ability beyond our capabilities. We don't. We have to learn to live with the painful memories. You can forgive someone and still have the painful memories every time you see them. Forgiveness is not dismissing the offense. It isn't passing off the hurt as no big deal or somehow lessening it by forgiving it. And I like that Jesus makes the second debt 100 days' wages, because he's showing that in and of itself is a pretty big deal. Forgiveness is not condoning. It's not excusing or justifying or rationalizing that someone's inappropriate, harmful behavior, somehow they had the right to do it. Forgiveness is not resolving. Forgiveness does not mean that a relationship has been restored. That is a whole different thing. That's another message. That requires repentance on behalf of the offender. You know, people will say, well, I can't forgive them. I can't even talk to them. You have the power to forgive even if the relationship is never restored. Forgiveness is not, this is the final one, forgiveness is not pardoning. Forgiveness does not release the offender from the legal or moral consequences of their actions. So it's not somehow just wiping away the consequences and say, I won't demand consequences. So those are all the things that forgiveness is not. And so what in the world is forgiveness is? 5 things that forgiveness is. And first and foremost, and by far the biggest, this is really what forgiveness is right here in one word. Forgiveness is surrender. Surrender what? You have to place in God's hands the desire to get even, to pay back, to harm the person who harmed you. Even if it's just emotional, even if it's just gossip, it's to surrender the desire to get even, to pay back, and to harm because you've been harmed. And by doing that, by surrendering that, God can use it for His glory and for the offender's redemption. You put it in His hands and let Him deal with it. Okay, that's first and foremost what forgiveness is. Also, forgiveness is perspective. It's an effort, and it takes effort. It's an effort to see the offender as a needy, weak, complicated, a fallible human being just like us. Just like us. Forgiveness is gradual. It's a commitment to the process of forgiveness. Okay, you know how you rehearse a grudge over and over? Somebody says something mean or hurts you, and you just kind of replay it in your mind? Well, right? Well, forgiveness is the opposite of that. You have to rehearse it in your mind. You have to re-forgive. Once you've forgiven the offense, you then have to re-forgive the pain of the memory every time it crops back up. You give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. You've forgiven the person, and then you see them again, and oh, yes, there's all the feelings, or you hear about them, or whatever. And you Resurrender it. Give it back to God. It's a process. It takes time. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. You don't wait till you feel like it. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a conscious decision to release your resentment and set yourself free. And finally, and of course, it is gratitude. We've already talked about that. Forgiveness is expressed gratefulness for God's mercy toward me. You don't owe mercy to the people who've hurt you, but you do owe mercy to God, and He's asked you to pay it back to them. So who do you need to forgive? Want an example of unforgiveness? This is real current in my own life. In fact, I didn't even really realize it till I was putting this message together, but go back to my freshman year of high school, would have been about 1976, and a friend of ours went through the locker room and took photos of a bunch of us guys taking showers. And then he threatened to post the pictures in the cafeteria unless we gave him $20. And so we paid him the $20 and we got the roll of film and we destroyed it. Or actually, I didn't. Here's the picture. No, I'm kidding. That's just a joke. We destroyed the film. And he passed it off as a big joke on us and you know, everything's fine. Well, a couple months ago, I'm helping my daughter build her house, and he has something to do with construction. And a couple months ago, he came into the church to see me. Bruce, how's it going? Fine, yeah. Nice to see you. And so, no, I'm all nice and phony, you know. Like I am with several of you. One of those was a joke. And so he didn't know I'm mad at him. You know, I just, hey, good to see you. And he's a really nice guy. He really is. And he asked if he could, he gave me his card and asked if he could help on my daughter's house. And I said, I'd think about it. And he left. And I walked right in Cheryl's office. And I said, want to know why that guy is never going to help out on my daughter's house? Hope he enjoyed his $20. Because he just lost a few thousand because of that. And I really enjoyed withholding something from him as payback for something he's not even aware of. Let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. Surrender it. Here's the question. Who can tell me the consequences of my actions? Who can tell me the consequences to God's glory and His possible redemption? Oh, it kind of drains the fun out of it. But you see, that's what we're faced with. It's my will or God's will. Stick it to Him. Or be part of God's plan and surrender it. Heavens no. You know, before I wrote this, I did deal with it. I did tell God I forgive this man, and I did actually tell my daughter that I would call him if she needed someone for that particular thing. So I did deal with it, and I'm still dealing with it. It's, you know, it's a re. I'll tell you, when I see him, it's resurrender it. Okay, back on task here. Yeah, who do you need to forgive? That's where we're at. Everyone's pointing at me. I see how it works. Resentment and bitterness are sneaky, and we can harbor it without even being aware of it. Here's a simple three-part test. You can quiz yourself. See if you are committing unforgiveness. First, stick your finger out and point at somebody. I know your mother told you not to do this, but do it. Just get it in your head. Point. This is the finger pointing test. If it weren't for so-and-so, my life would be great. If I'd had a different father or a different mother. See, it's healthy to assign appropriate responsibility if the intention is to deal with past hurts effectively. But it is unhealthy and wrong to blame someone instead of working through and moving beyond past hurts and offenses. So if you point the finger, you haven't really forgiven. Now hold your fingers up and just kind of flick your fingers like you're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the scorekeeping test. Scorekeeping test. Someone may have neglected, betrayed, bullied, or abused you, but no matter how they try to make amends or don't try to make amends, you will not let them off the hook in your heart until they have suffered enough to settle the score. That's kind of what I was doing. If you have to even the score, you have not really forgiven. And then finally do this. Just go, pow, pow. This is the overreacting test. You ever react to someone, you know, harshly? Not so much because of what they did, but because they remind you of painfully of someone from your past, like your mother, your father, your ex. And all that pent-up hostility just kind of is transferred and the volcano blows. You ever yell at someone? You are just like so-and-so. Well, here's a neat little saying. If it's hysterical, it's historical. If you have a hysterical reaction, there's most likely a historical reason. Don't allow past resentments to destroy present relationships. If you tend to overreact, there is someone or a few that you've not forgiven. And it's vital that we forgive. Jesus compares the consequences of resentment to a harsh and cruel dungeon. Look how he puts it in verse 34. He says, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. These are the consequences of bitterness, resentment. See, it robs us of the peace and joy that comes from that inner evidence that you are forgiven, that you are accepted, that you are embraced, that you are loved in spite of your debt of sin. Resentment imprisons and torments the resenter. And then Jesus goes beyond the 3 times, the 7 times, and even the 77 times, and he shows Peter that it's all about attitude, not arithmetic. And it's right at the end, it's in verse 35. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you, and here it is, forgive your brother from your heart. From your heart. It has to be more than words. Because when it comes to bitterness and resentment and grudges, we only have 2 choices, only 2. We can restrain them or release them. That's it. You can trap that resentment in your heart and reinforce those bitter bars of your self-imposed prison, or you can release it through forgiveness, surrender it as a gift of gratitude in honor of your gracious and generous King. Let's read our parable again, and I want you to put yourself in the role of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. But the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let's pray. Father God, you are the ultimate gracious and merciful King. We offer you our resentments as an offering of appreciation in honor of the daily forgiveness that you lavish upon us. Holy Spirit, empower us to forgive from our heart and extend your grace and mercy to those you've purposely placed around us. And Jesus, we glorify you now for canceling our debt on the cross. And in your precious name, everybody said, amen. Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.